Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Vav. We are holding on the fourth line of the page on Daf Vav. Amar Aleph, Umay Taima, Gazru Buhu, Rabbanon. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Emily Lishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, the Neshama, Shavna Aliyah. We're going to talk about today is first, why were they gozer not to eat from the Shechita of Akuti? That's what we started discussing yesterday. So today we're going to talk about why they made such a gzera, what the context of the gzera was. In that context, we're also going to talk about how to handle a Rebbe who can't answer your questions, because we're going to interpret a pasuk in Mishle to be about that situation. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how the gzeros against the Kutim were made again in a later generation and were expanded beyond Shechita and Yayin Shel Kutim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a tzaddik eats something, that must be a raya that it's mutter, that if you think that something is asr, that something is halachically problematic, but then you see that a tzaddik eats it, you have to reassess whether it in fact is halachically problematic, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yadon. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we have to be choshesh that ingredients were switched. You give somebody who's an amaretz ingredients to make something, and then they give you back the final product. You have to be choshesh that maybe they put some demai in there and they switched out your ingredients for their ingredients. And the Gemara is going to have three rayas whether you have to be choshesh that ingredients are switched. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have one more story about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yadei tzadikim, and that's going to touch on where the borders of Eretz Yisrael, or what is on the inside and outside of Eretz Yisrael when it comes to the dinim of mitzvos hatuliyos ba'aretz. So let's begin on the fourth line of Daf Vav Amud Aleph. My time of Gazru B'Rabban, why were the Rabban gozer on Kutim to asr their Shechita? So the Gemara tells that Maisa Shahaya, Kiyad Rabbi Shem Ben Elazar, the story happened with Rabbi Shem Ben Elazar, Shadre Rabbi Meir Lasui Cham Be'Kutai, Rabbi Meir, his Rabbi sent him to go bring wine from Kuti neighborhood, Ashkuche Ahusaba, and he found Hahusaba while he was there to go secure the wine. Who is Hahusaba? Says Tosus in the top Tosus, Yesh Mefarshim, to call Makum Shumaskir Ahusaba, who Eliyahu. That everywhere in Shas where you have Ahusaba, it's in fact Eliyahu Anavi, says Tosus, Yev Shalomer Ken Paragbam Madlikin, Bufdaz Reb Shim Ben Yochai. It can't be everywhere in Shas, because we know the Gemara in Shabbos, Staf Lamadalid, with the story of Reb Shim Ben Yochai. Come on, you know, day after Lag Ba'omer, Reb Shabbos Dav Lamed Gimel is the and Lamed Dalid is the story of Rabbi Shimon emerging from the cave. So Lamed Dalid is the story of Rabbi Shimon Meyuchai. That's the mnemonic to remember what Daf and Shas. It is the Shabbos Lamed Gimel. It's Shabbos Dav Lag, right? So Lad for today. On Shabbos Dav Lad, it says that. The Rav Shimon Ben Yochai saw Ahusaba, and Ahusaba said something to him about him being Mitar Beis Hakvaros or something, and Rav Shimon Ben Yochai killed him. So it's hard to imagine that would be Eliyahu Hanavi, since Eliyahu Hanavi didn't die. So it cannot possibly be Eliyahu Hanavi in that story in the Gemara in Shabbos Dav Lamed Dalid. So it's unclear whether Tosfos is saying, and therefore you could throw the whole klal out the window, or that there's an exception to the rule that everywhere else in Shas, it could be that Ahusaba is in fact Eliyahu Hanavi, but that one place in Shas, Ahusaba, is not Eliyahu Hanavi. So Amalei, anyway, this Ahusaba, whoever it might be, said to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar as follows: V'samta sakin below echa in bal nefeshata, that if you're a kosher person, you should overcome your yetzar hara and do not drink from this wine that you're getting from the kutim. Halach Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'sipar dvarim lefei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar went and reported back to Rabbi Meir about his conversation with the Ahusaba, who said that he better not drink from this wine. V'gazra aleihem, and Rabbi Meir made a gzeira on them to asr their wine. So my time, what sort of chashash is there with the wine of Kutim that Rav Meir thought that you have to make a gzeira against their wine? Well, what do they do with their wine? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak to Musyona Matzulan Brosh Har Grizim show you Ovdinosa, that they found an image of a Yona, a statue of a Yona on the top of Har Grizim, and they were worshipping it. So they were Mumim Lavodazara, and Stam Yenam of people who are Mumim Lavodazara is going to be Aser. Now, this is not the majority of Kutim that were worshipping this image. Rove of the Kutim were not in Har Grizim at all, and were never Nechshad on Avodazara. Yeah, but Rabbi Meir L'Taimei D'Chayish L'Miyuta V'Gazaruba Atu Miyuta. This is Rabbi Meir L'Shitaso, that Rabbi Meir is always Choshish L'Miyuta. Where do we find that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lemiuta. So it's a sugya in Maseches Yevamos that the Mishnah Yevamos says Rami Meir Katan Uketana Lo Cholzim Velo Miyavmim, that a Katan or a Katana cannot participate in Chalitza or Yibum, and the reason that Lo Miyavmim is because a Katan Shami Yimtzas Ris Katana Shema Timtza Islandis. Now, how many people are going to be are going to prove as they get older to be a Sris or an Islandis? A very, very small number of people, a small miut of people. But a Meir is Choshesh, everybody before when they're young, and you can't yet tell that maybe this is going to be the lucky winner. This one might be the Sris, this one might be the Islandis. So that's the source of where we find that a Meir is Choshesh the miuta. From Gamliel, Bezinunami, Kremer Svirlu, and now bringing it back to our Sugya, when we said that Rav Gamliel made a gzera that you're not allowed to eat from the shchita of a kuti, they're holding like Rabbi Meir, just like Rabbi Meir was goes there against the yayin of a kuti because he's choshesh lemiuta. Rav Gamliel was goes there against the shchita of a kuti because he is choshesh lemiuta. Now Rashi's shita throughout this sugya is that this Rav Gamliel that we're talking about, there were several Rav Gamliels. The one we're talking about was the son of Rebbe, and he lived after Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir initially was goes there on the yayin of kutim, and apparently not on their shchita, and then later comes along Rabbi Gamliel, and he expands the gzera to shchitas kutim as well. So the Ran explains, why wasn't Rabbi Meir goes there on the shchita? Why was he only goes there on the yayin? Because he holds like Shmuel, that a mumar l'avod d'zara is not a mumar l'kol haTorah, and is, therefore you're allowed to eat from the shchita. He was only goes there on the kutim for Yisurim d'Rabbanan, because we're afraid that people are going to take Yisurim d'Rabbanan very lightly. So Stam Yenam, even by an Ovid Avod Zara Mamish, if you see that they're Menaseich V'yayin L'Avod Zara, so obviously that wine is Aser Midaraisa. But Stam Yenam of an Ovid Avod Zara, that's only Aser Midrabbanan. So because they were concerned that they're not going to treat the Dinim d'Rabbanan seriously enough, so Rav Meir was goes there on the Stam Yenam of Akuti. And then later, Rav Gamliel expanded the Gzera even to Dinim d'Araisa as well, to the Shechita of a kuti. That is how Rashi understands, based on the fact that Rav Gamliel, based on Rashi's understanding, that Rav Gamliel is in a later generation than Rabbi Meir. Tosos and the Ramban say, wrong Rav Gamliel. The Rav Gamliel we're talking about over here is the Rav Gamliel Diavne, who preceded Rabbi Meir, which means that the Gzera on the Shechita preceded the gzera on the yayin. So he was gozer first on the shechita, and hu adin kol yisurim shebet Torah because of the chashash lemiuta, like Rabbi Meir. But then Rabbi Meir was gozer even on something that's only a derabanan, that it started with the gzera on those things that are daraisa. Rabbi Meir said, you know what? Even stam yenam, we're going to expand the gzera to apply to even stam yenam. Now, once we mentioned this pasuk in Mishlei that Hahu Saba had told Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, where he said, "V'samta sakin beloecha, put the knife in your cheek in bal nefesh ata." So, what is the so says the Gemara? Let's talk a little more about that pasuk. Pashti dekrab b'mayk siv. What is the pshuto shel mikra of such a pasuk? B'tamara yoshev lufnei rabbi. The pshuto shel mikra is not at all about refraining from drinking wine that you might have a taifa for. Rather, it's about a talmid sitting in front of his rebbe and what kind of attitude a talmid should have toward his rebbe. Now, what we're about to explain also doesn't seem like pshuto shel mikra. So the Marsha explains, yeah, because it's Sefer Mishlei. The whole book is written b'derech mashal. So what we're saying is pshuto shel mikra in terms of what is the most pashut pshat of the mashal that fits all of the neighboring psukim in terms of what the mashal might be about. So if it's just about not drinking wine that you might have a taiva for, it doesn't really fit with the previous pasuk of lilchom es moshal, as we're about to see. But the non-pashut pshat, you know, mashal that we're about to give fits the neighboring psukim as well, and therefore we assume that it's pshuto shel mikra, right? It could be that ena mikra yotze midei pshuto does include mishalim sometimes, that sometimes the pshuto shel mikra is that it is a mashal, right? Meaning this discussion, lifnei iver lo sitein mikshal, does that mean that if a person actually puts a stumbling block in front of a blind man, that he's violated that iser? No, he's violated something, but is he a violated lifnei iver? Mechaschil is not sure that he's violated lifnei iver. What do you mean you're not sure? In a mikra yotzim b'dei pshuto, but sometimes pshuto shel mikra is that the mikra is a mashal, is that the pasuk is a... So certainly in Mishlei that's the case, the Marshal points out. So anyway, so what is the the pshat in this pasuk, Titani Rabbi Chiya taught that the pasuk says Kiteshev Lilchom Es Moshe. When you sit down to learn Torah with a gadol b'Torah, Moshe being a gadol b'Torah, Lilchom means to learn Torah. How does Lilchom mean to learn Torah? Two possibilities. One possibility is that it means a lashon of lechem. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Bey says that Torah is nimshal lechem. That when you sit down to learn Torah, because Gemara says that one of the names of Yetzer Hara is a sone, and it says Imrav Sonacha Achileu Lechem, that if your sone is hungry, so feed him bread, the Pasuk Mishle says. So Rashi says, meaning get involved in Milchamta Shel Torah, and then you'll overcome the Yetzer Hara. The alternatively, Pashu Pshat Lechora is Kisei Shev Lilchom, when you sit down to fight, to battle the Milchamta Shel Torah. So either it's a Lashon of Lechem or a Lashon of Milchama. So when you're sitting to learn Torah in front of a Gadol B'Torah, Bin Tavin Es Asher Lefanecha, V'samta Sakin Biloecha, Im Bal Nefeshata. So what is it telling us? If the Talmud knows about his Rebbe, that when you ask a question, he's going to know how to respond, bin, then you should, that's great. Then you should ask your questions, get the answers that you need. V'im lav, but if it seems that the Rebbe's not going to know the answers to anything anyway, then tavanas asher lefanecha, you should try to, on your best to understand all what the pshat is in what you're trying to understand, and don't ask the Rebbe and embarrass him. V'sam tesakin below echa, and hold back from asking the question, meaning it takes some strength to hold back from asking the question. So you have to hold back because you know that it's just going to embarrass him. It's not going to help anyway. In bal nefesh ata, but if you're a bal nefesh, you're someone who's interested in getting to the depths of every sugya and knowing the answers and having someone who's able to provide you with answers. So proshim and find yourself a new rebbe who's able to answer your questions. But that's the what the pasuk is telling us. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef Shadrei Rabbi Avol Lasui Chaim. Back to the Gezeros against Kutim, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef sent Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo sent him to bring wine from Beit Kutai, from the place where Kutim lived. Ashkehu Saba. Once again, he ran into Hahu Saba. So Amalei, so he said to Rabbi Yitzchak, Les kan Shomre Torah. You should know, among the Kutim, you're not going to find anyone who's Shomre Torah. Whoa. So Halach Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak went back to Rabbi Avo to report back that you sent me to buy wine from somewhere where there are no B'nai Torah there. Halach Rabbi Avo, Vesiper Dvarim Lefnei Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Avo reported this back to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. Velo Zazum Misham Achasom of the and they didn't move from there until they made them Ovdei Kuchavim Gemurin. So Lemai, what do you mean they turned them into Ovdei Kuchavim Gemurin? In what way were they gozer on the Kutim? If you're going to say, well, they were gozer that you can't eat from the Shechit of a Kuti, they were gozer that you can't have the Stam Yenam of a Kuti, well, we already had those gzeros from Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Gamliel. So we already, those gzeros preceded Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. We don't need them to repeat those gzeros. So says the Gemara, yes, we did, because inu gazer velo kiblu menayu. Those initial gzeros that were made against the shchita and the yayin of akuti, the gzeros of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir, respectively, asu Rabbi Meir Rabbi Asi, were never accepted. So asu Rabbi Meir Rabbi Asi gazer kiblu menayu. At the right time, Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi restated those gzeros, and when the tzibur was ready for it, that's where it actually took hold, and that's where those gzeros made their impact, because so they made the gzeira a second time. This is what the Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Ma'amrim. The Rambam writes, Bezin Shanira Lahen Ligzor Gzeira L'Sakin Takana O Lahanig Minog. Whenever Bezin wants to make a gzeira, Takana, a Minog, Tzrichon Yashim B'Davar, they need to think about it carefully. V'leida Tchila Imrova Tzibur Yichol Lamod Ben Im O'Emein Yichol Lamod, and to figure out whether the Tzibur is up to this yet. Are they going to be able to handle this? The Rambam says they can only be gozer gzeira if they assess that the tzibur can handle it. And what if they misjudged it? What if you have a bezdin? They sat down. They said, "We think the tzibur is ready for this. We think the tzibur is ready for such a gzeira. We can make a rule that no one's allowed to make a wedding with more than this number of people in the band and this summer. We think the tzibur is ready for." they forget that they're in America, and then it turns out that Rov HaKal is not ready for it, Harezu Batla. So the Gezerah becomes Batla, Vein Rashal Lachuf, Hasam Lachasba. They can no longer force the nation to do anything. Gazru V'dimu Shapashu B'Kol Yisrael, V'amad Adavar Kein Shanim Ramos. But if they made the Gezerah and it works, it spreads, people accept it and stays that way for many years. Uliachas man meruma amad beis anachru batek b'kol Yisrael v'ra she'enos agzera pashetas b'kol Yisrael. And then at a later time, the tzibur is not able to maintain the gzera and they stop observing it. Yesh lo rishus levatav aviv pachas mi beis anarishon b'chachma minyan. The later beis din is allowed to undo the gzera because the people have spoken, not because the beis din is authorized. Normally, for a beis din to be authorized to overturn a gzera of a previous beis din, the second beis din needs to be gadol, which the secret is you never have, because we have Yeridus Hadaru. So when are you ever going to have a Bezin that's Gadol B'chachmo B'minyin? But if the people are unable to observe the Gzera anymore, then the Gzera goes away. But over here, the assumption is that it never took hold in the first place, and therefore the Gzera was not binding. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi came along and they instituted the Gzera. What changed? So the way Rashi understands is that the Metzias changed, and the people were not able to stay away from the Kutim in an earlier generation. In a later generation, the Metzias changed, and they were able to stay away from the Kutim. The Ramban says no, differently. He says they were not Mekabel Gzera Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir because they thought Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir were based on a Shita that we don't paskin like. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir were Choshish Lemuta. We were Holichacharov, so they weren't Mekabel that Gzera. Oh, but then what happened in a later generation? In a later generation, the Rov Kutim became problematic, meaning the demographics within the Kuti community changed. It was no longer a matter of being Choshesh Lemiyuta. And the Taras Chaim says that the Ramban must be correct from the Lashon of a Husaba. The first time Husaba said, V'samta sakin b'loeich im bal nefeshata. The second time he said, Les kan shomrei Torah. So first he said, you know, hold back from drinking the wine. Second time Husaba said, there are no shomrei Torah here, which means, sounds like the large majority were not shomrei Torah. So that sounds a little bit more like the Ramban. Now we said that they decided to make the Kutim not just to be gozer against their Shechita, not just to be gozer against their Yayin, but to treat them like, oh, Ovdei kochavim gemurin. So my ovdei kochavim gemurin, what does that mean? That Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were gozer, that they were like ovdei kochavim gemurin. So legabe what halacha? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak levatal rishus v'litein rishus. This is for those doing Mishnah Berurah Yomi. This is a daf yomi coincidence, because we're learning the siman right now about bittul rishus. That the halacha is that if, let's say, you have a number of Jewish people that live in a chatzar, and they're all supposed to make an erev if they want to carry anything in the chatzar. One guy forgot to participate in the Erev. Everyone, the way an Erev works is everyone contributes a little bit of bread or matzah, and they keep it in one guy's house. So Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everyone participated in the Erev. Yosef didn't participate in the Erev. He forgot to contribute his bread. So the halacha is that's going to ruin it for everybody unless Yosef does what's called a bittul rishus. He says, whatever rishus I have in the chatzar, I am mevatel to you. So therefore, Yosef will not be allowed to carry in the chatzar, but everybody else will be, because the chatzar is not owned jointly by Yosef and everybody else. It's owned jointly by everybody else who did participate in the Erev. That concept of bittul rishus can only be done with a Jew, but a non-Jew cannot do bittul rishus. If you live in a neighborhood where there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Bob, right? So Bob is not a Jew, so then he can't just do bittul rishus. You need something more than that. You need what's called schirus rishus. Chazal were gozer that you need to rent his property from him and his rights in the chatzar from him, because they didn't want to make it too easy to be able to carry in a chatzar when Jews and non-Jews live together in the chatzar, because of the chavim in those times were chashra shvichas damim, and Chazal didn't want you hanging around with of the chavim or chashra shvichas damim, and they were a terrible influence. They didn't want you the Jewish people to be influenced by such neighbors. So they were trying to create Jewish neighborhoods where Jewish people are not going to live in such close proximity. They were only only goes to this if there were multiple Jews and one Nachri. If it was just one Jew and one Nachri, they didn't make such a gezeira. Why didn't they make such a gezeira? Because you'd have to be a lunatic to live one Jew and one Ovid Chavim in the same chatzar. They were chashar shvichas damim. He's going to kill you. So it was a milsul shchicha. So milsul shchicha l'gazu b'rabbanan. But when you have multiple Jews and a Nachri, so the Nachri cannot do bittul rishus. You need schirus rishus, and it's not always easy to pull off because he's like, wait, you're renting my property. He's not going to know what this is about. Rabbi Eli Reisman told me once that Rabbi Reisman's son. He told me that his grandfather used to run a health home care business, something like that. He ran some sort of business, and he had like a Shabbaton for his employees in a hotel, and he in Edison, New Jersey. And he went over to the non-Jewish proprietor of the hotel as a chumrah to make an erev chatzeres. Not so posh you need to make an erev chatzeres in a hotel, but he figured it might as well. So he needed to do a schiras rishos from the nachri manager of the hotel. So he started explaining to him, well, there's a nachri, and we're not allowed to carry, and don't worry about it. It's you don't lose anything over here. We just need to do this. And the guy is like with eyes glazed over. He has no idea what he's talking about. And then the guy says, oh, the dollar thing. This is the dollar thing, because they ran a lot of Jewish events there. So he's like, the dollar thing. But then he said his grandfather just said, what's the point? He doesn't even understand what's going on. Meaning it doesn't work unless he knows that he's being so chorishus. It only works if he understands what he's doing. So the schirus rishus for him to understand what he's doing and still be willing to do it is a very uncommon thing. So therefore, Chazal made it difficult to live in the same neighborhoods. So legabe that, we treat the kuti like an oved kochavim, that a bittul rishus is not enough. He needs a schirus rishus. Ukitetanya, like the Brisa says, Yisrael mumar mishamer shabbat b'shuk. If you have a Yisrael who is a machal Shabbos, but at least when he's in public, he's shomer Shabbos, and he didn't participate in the Erev, mevatel rishus v'nosin rishus. As long as publicly he's a shomer Shabbos, he's able to be mevatel rishus. But v'sheinu mishamer shabbat b'shuk. But if even publicly he's not a shomer Shabbos, eino mevatel rishus v'nosin rishus, then he's not able to do bittul rishus. Mnei sha'amu Yisrael nosin rishus and mevatel rishus ubovid chavim at sheyiskar. But an ovid chavim bittul rishus is not enough. You need to be socher. The Yisrael has to be socher the rishus from him. And a mumur l'chal Shabbos b'faresia has a din like an ovid kochavim in this area of halacha. So ketzad, what should the Yisrael do? In order to do, let's say it's a Yisrael who is Shomer Shabbos, how does he pull off a bittul or a schirus rishus? Meaning the Yisrael is allowed to do schirus rishus also, but he has the extra option of doing a bittul rishus. So amrlo, he just says to the neighbor, rishusi kenuyelach, rishusi muvatelis lach, or one or the other. He just says such a lashon, he doesn't need to do any more than that, kana. So that's already enough for the guy to be kona his rishus. Venus archlazakos. You don't need to do a kinyan chalipin, you don't need to transfer any money, just words alone. You just say rishusi kenuyelach, or you say rishusi muvatelis lach, and that's going to work just fine. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the discussion we had before about how HaKadosh Baruch is not maybe takala al yedei tzadikim, that if afilu behemtem shel tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch is not maybe takala al yodan, then tzadikim atzmon lo kol shkein. So Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Yasi iklu lupundaka de yoi. Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Yasi were at an inn in a city called Yoi. Aitu lukamayu beitzim hamutsumakos biyayin. They brought a dish that included roasted eggs and wine. Rabbi Zeira lo achal. Rabbi Zeira would not eat from this egg dish with the wine in it, but Ravasi ate from it. He said, what about the kashrus here? Aren't you choshesh that the wine is demai, that you need to be mafshumus and maisus, this person is not ma'aretz? So it's demai. How do you drink from, how do you eat from this dish? So he says, whoops, the wine wasn't brought in a glass of wine, it was bitaroves, so I didn't realize that there was demai that might have been mixed in over here. Mistake. So I'm Rabbi Zeir says, mistake? That he ate macholos asunus by mistake? Efshar gozer al tarovas demai umistayeh milsad ravasi l'mechel isura? Could it be that Chazal were gozer on tarovas demai, and he and a holy tzaddik like this is going to eat iser? Hashta behemtam shel tzaddikim in a kodesh baruch hu mevi takal el yad. Rabban. Tzadik Matzmel Kolshkein. Even a behemah of a tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not going to be maybe takala al yado. And we're going to learn that story tomorrow. But a tzadik himself, all the more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never be maybe takala al yado. Rav Yosef Engel in Asfan Daraisa says, what do you mean? The Gemara should have just answered, why is demai aser? Because it's a suffix whether Nama Aretz took maisros or not. So maybe klapei Shemaya Galia, that this dish with the beitzim and the yayin, that there were maisros taken from Rova Meyaretz are masrin. It's only that we're choshish for the miyat that are not. So says the Asfan Daraisa, you see from here that once Chazal aser something, then it becomes an iser vadai. It becomes an iser be'etzem. It becomes aser even if klapei Shemaya Galia. This has a din of demai, and even that the tzaddik would not eat from. So nafak Rabbi Zera Daksa va'ashkach, Rabbi Zera went out and did some research. He said it must be that tarovas demai is mutter, and otherwise this never would have happened. So the Tanya, the Tosefta says halokeach yayin lasis l'tocha morius. If a person buys wine from Nama Aretz to put it into morius, into some sort of dish, olutocha luntis, or into another type of dish, karshin lasos me'entchinin. He buys karshinin to make a type of dish also that's mixed with different spices. Adashim lasos man resisin, or he buys adashim, buys lentils to make another type of dish mixed with different spices. Chayiv mishum demai. You have to take off because of demai. You have to take off shumas maisros because the stama mei aretz are. That their produce is demai. And certainly you have to take maisros when the guy tells you beferish that he was not mafresh maisros from it. Even though all of these things are, I mean, you're buying all of these products to mix it together with other things, so even though that's your intention when you're buying it, there is such a din of demai. But vehein atzman, but let's say you're not buying the raw ingredients to later mix with something else. You're buying the final product. It's already a cooked food that is a mixture of things that are demai and other items, mutarin, mepreshen taroves, then you don't have to worry about demai, because taroves demai is not a problem. Chazal were only gozer on demai, they were not gozer on taroves demai. So here you have beferish, that chum were not gozer on taroves demai, and therefore it turns out that Rabbi Rav Asi was not nichshal in any iser when he ate this egg wine dish at this inn, since it was taroves demai. But what motivated the research to find out that taroves demai is mutter was the fact that Rav Asi ate it. So says Mar Velo Gazra al Tarovas Demai. Is that true? They were never Gozer on Tarovas of Demai? Va'atanya, doesn't the price say, Anosin Lishchento, Iso Lefos, if a person gives their neighbor who's an Eshes HaMa'aretz a dough to bake for them, Ukederu Levashel, or you give a pot to cook, and you give her the spices that are going to be needed to cook up that dish, Einu Choshish L'sar V'tavon Shabal Lo Mishum Shviyis Lo Mishum Meiser. You don't have to be Choshish that she switched out the sa'ar or the tavlin and put in her own sa'ar or tavlin, which is going to have a problem of shvius or meiser issues, because amayaretz are not chashan on gezel. Why would she steal your stuff and put her own stuff? She's an amayaretz, she's nesh samayaretz, so she doesn't know the dinim of chumas and maestros, but she's not going to steal v'yamamrla asili mishalichi. But if you tell her, you know, feel free to use your own ingredients or make this using your own ingredients, then choshish l'sar v'tavlin shabam mishum shvius mishum meiser. Then we are choshish that about problems relating to meiser and to demai. So wait a second. By the time I get the product back, it's a finished product with demai ingredients. It's what we call tarovas demai. So why do I have to worry about what I'm getting back? That when I gave her permission to use her own ingredients, after all, isn't it tarovas demai? And we said we weren't gozer on tarovas demai. Answers the Gemara. Two answers. Number one, shiny awesome, dikivin de kamala asili mishalichi, commandar via daim dami. No, it's not considered that I received tarovas demai. I told her use those ingredients. That's ki'ilu. I bought the ingredient itself and then mixed it together. It's as if I'm the one that mixed it because I authorized the mixing of these ingredients. And that's why we have to be choshesh for demai. Second answer, Rafa Mamar, shiny sa'ar v'tavlin till the time of lo batil. The reason we're not choshesh for tarovas demai is because demai becomes batil. But something that's there, like spices, which are there to give flavor, and the flavor is very easily recognizable in the final product, but that does not become batel. So it's not batel, it's recognizable in the product. Now, once we're on this topic, we said we happen to have mentioned in this brisa that when you give all the ingredients and you ask the Amaretz, the Eshes Amaretz, to make you the product, you don't have to be choshesh she's going to switch the ingredients, because they're not choshesh on gezel. They're choshesh on maestros, but not on gezel. So says Mar Luchlufi Luchashinan, is that true? We're not choshesh that people are going to switch ingredients? Three cases, the Gemara says, where we do find that we're choshesh are going to switch ingredients. Hanose L'chamoso, if a person gives a dough to his mother-in-law to bake, ma'aser shu, and she happens to be in Amaretz, ma'aser shu nosin, he has to take maestros from that which he gives to her, and now what she takes back from her, because we're afraid that, let's say she's going to try one time to bake you something good and it's going to, you know, it's going to flop, so she's not going to just want to give you the flopped dish, she'll try again, and this time she'll use her own ingredients. So if she's an Eishes HaMa'aretz, if you made the mistake of marrying a Bas HaMa'aretz, so now you're going to have to take maestros again from it. So says Mar Hasam Kitani Taima Am Ravido Rotzi Betekanes Bito Boshem Echas. No. Normally, we're not choshesh people are going to switch things out. With a mother-in-law, it's different, because the mother-in-law always wants to impress the son-in-law. She wants to do things that are going to make him happy, and therefore, she's going to be embarrassed if the dish that she serves him is something that doesn't taste good. But when we're talking about a person who has no vested interest in making you happy, so then we don't think that they're going to be machlif. We don't think that that they're going to switch it out. Only the mother-in-law is going to switch it out because she wants the son-in-law to be happy, right? Everyone has that one thing that the first time they met the in-laws and they served them something to eat and they said, "Oh, this is delicious." For the rest of their life, they receive that food when they go to the mother-in-law. They don't love it so much. It was just being nice. But the mother-in-law wants to make the son-in-law happy, minus cucumber salad. So I like cucumber salad. I can live without it, but in general, for other people, are we not choshesh that they're gonna switch things out? So Vatanan says, well, I'll bring you a second raya that we are choshesh. People will switch things. Hanosin lupundakish shalo. If a person gives his innkeeper ma'aser shu nosin la veshu notele mena, you give the ingredients to the innkeeper to cook you dinner. You have to take maestros from the product that you give to her and then take again from that which you get back from her. Because we assume that she might switch it out. So you see that even someone who has no vested interest in you being happy and you enjoying the food or anything else, they're still going to switch it. So don't you see that Lachlufi Chashinon? Chassam Sofer asks what the Hava Amina is that an Amah Oretz is going to be Chashad on Gezel. What, just because of Chashad on maestros is going to be Chashad on Gezel as well? La halacha, we normally say chashal averachas, say no chashal averacheres. Just because someone violates one aver doesn't mean they can violate another aver. Why would the pundakis steal your stuff and replace it with something else? So some sofer says, because if you're chashal maestros, you are chashal on gezel. You're stealing from shevet kuhuna, from shevet levia, if you're not taking trumas and maestros. It's a different, it's a type of gezel the person might justify in their minds, but it is a form of gezel. So it says Gemara, now in the case of the pundakis, hasam nami moria, she'll be mora heter for herself and say, it's for the good of the guest. Va'amra, barbe rav lechel chamima, va'ana echel karira. I want the Barbe Rav, I want this yeshiva guy who sits and learns Torah for a living. I want him to have a nice, delicious, hot meal. I'll eat the cold stuff. So maybe the pundak has cooked the dinner early in the day, assuming that the guy would come back from the Beis Medrash at 6 p.m. He doesn't come back from the Beis Medrash until 10 p.m. By then, his food was cold, so she'll cook him up something else that's going to be warm. So it's for his own benefit that she would do that. So we're not choshesh that a person is going to be just to take something for themselves, because they're not chashan on gezel. It's only when they think that it's to your benefit that they're going to switch things out. That's the way Rashi learns our Gemara. Tosfos learns differently, that it's not that she's saying that let the Barbe Rav eat warm and I'll eat cold. That it's Belashon B'Temiyah. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Menachem that it's Kavanasa L'Ra'a, that she wants to eat the warm food and let the guest eat the cold food. When she says Barbe Rav Lechol Chamima, it's B'Temiyah. Barbe Rav Lechol Chamima, this Yeshiva Bachur is going to get to eat a fresh meal and I'm not have to eat something that's cold. I'm the one who works here and who cooks and who prepares all this food. So that's only by a pundakis who's tareach bishvilom. So we assume that she's going to feel entitled. That's how Tosfos learns. Then a third raya says, Gemara, are we not choshish that someone might switch something out? Va'atanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Eishas Chaver, Tochenes, and Eishas Hama'aretz, that an Eishas Chaver can work on grinding grain together with an Eishas Hama'aretz, Bizman Shehi Temeya, when the Eishas Chaver is Temeya. Because since she's Temeya, she's going to be very careful. She's going to stand way away from the food. She doesn't want to be Metame the food. And therefore, we're not concerned that the Eishas Chaver is going to accidentally eat anything because she's going to be keeping her distance. Avalo Bizman Shehi Tahora. But if the Eishas Chaver is Tahora, she's not going to keep her distance. She's going to be perfectly happy to touch the wheat, and we're afraid she might eat from some of that wheat, and it's tamai. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, af bezman shehi tamei lo titchon, mnei shechaverta nosenes lo v'ocheles. No, even if she's tamei, she shouldn't help out the Yeshes HaMa'aretz, because even though she's keeping her distance, the Yeshes HaMa'aretz might give her some food to eat, and if she hands you the food, you're going to eat it. So don't you see the Yeshes HaMa'aretz is chashud to steal her husband's wheat? Meaning it's not Mrs. HaMa'aretz's wheat, it's her husband's wheat. So we see that she's chashud to take that which doesn't belong to her, and if people are chashud to take that which doesn't belong to them, they're chashud to switch something that doesn't belong to them for something that does belong to them. So, hashta migzal gzeil chalufi mibayi, if you see that she's chashud even on gezel, so vaday she's going to be chashud to switch it out. So don't you see that they are chashud to switch it out? And so Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, hasam nami, morya va'amra, torah midishe ka'achel. She'll be mora heter for herself to take from the wheat and give it to her friend, because she's going to say, we know the halacha lo sachsum shor b'disho, that if you have an animal that's doing work for you, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal. The animal has to be allowed to eat while it's doing the work. So here this nice lady is helping me with tchinas achitim, so my husband will for sure be okay with the fact that I'm giving her something to eat. So since she's mora heter, she's not really chashur on gezel. If she were chashur on gezel, then she'd be chashur on switching things out as well. One more story the Gemara brings about HaKadosh Baruch, maybe that HaKadosh Baruch is not maybe takala al yedei tzadikim. Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz was meid, and who is Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz? Ben Chamiv Shel Rabbi Meir, the son of the father-in-law of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz is Rabbi Meir's brother-in-law, right? That's what it sounds like, which would mean that Meir's father-in-law's name is Zaruz. So good trivia. What's the name of Meir's father-in-law? Zaruz. Says in Law Roim, if that's what you answered, you got it wrong, because the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samach Beis says that Rabbi Meir's wife was Bruria, and Bruria was the daughter of none other than then Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion, not someone named Zaruz. So what is going on over here? So the Mlor Roim says Rabbi Meir must have had another wife who was less famous than Bruria. So Bruria was the daughter of Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion. Then there was also this Bas Zaruz, who was another wife. Or he says that maybe Zaruz himself was the brother-in-law and was another son of Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion. It doesn't sound that way from the Lashon over here, but maybe alternatively that's what it actually means. So anyway, he was made al Rabbi Meir sha'achal ala shal yarek bebeishan, that he saw that he ate a leaf of a vegetable in a place called Beishan without taking maestros from it. Vihita Rabbi as Beishan kula, and Rabbi said, whoa, if Rabbi Meir ate from it, it must be that you're allowed to eat stuff that grows in Beishan without taking any maestros from it, even though you know bevadai that there were no maestros al yado, based on this edus alone, because he understood that the reason Rabbi Meir ate from it is because he holds that Beishan is outside of the borders of Eretz Israel, and therefore it's part of Meister. So he came to the halachic conclusion that Beishan is not part of Eretz Israel from the fact that Rabbi Meir ate from it. In the Iyun Yaakov, he said, how could Rabbi Meir rely on an Eid Echad? How could Rabbi rather rely on an Eid Echad that Rabbi Meir ate it? You're not allowed to, when it's his Chazik Yisurin, Eid Echad is not Neman B'Yisurin. When it's not his Chazik Yisurin, we believe in Eid Echad B'Yisurin, but not when it's his Chazik Yisurin. So he says, maybe there was another Eid together with Rabbi Shubin Zar, but mipnei kvodos Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz, we don't mention him because Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz is so much more chashuv than that other aid. Or maybe it's not called this chazik yisura because anyone who was noig yisur in Beis Shan was only noig yisur misafek. They were not noig yisur b'toras vaday. So maybe that's not called is chazik yisura. How do I know that they were noig yisur? Chavra lav echavu beis aviv. Other people started attacking Rabbi Amrulo. They said makom shavasecha v'avos shavasecha. Nagu Bo Isser, Atatinuk Bo Heter. For generations, we're knowing Isser and Beis Shan. So Darish Lev Mikrazeh, he says, I'll tell you a pasuk. Pasuk says that the Chizkiyo Melch Yehuda, Vikitas Nechash Hanachosh Asher Asa Moshe, Kiada Yom Meima, Yubnei Yisrael, Mikatrum Lo Veyukalo Nechushtan, that he destroyed the Nechash Hanachosh Asa Moshe Abinu had made, because people were treating it like an Avodah Zarah. So Efshar Ba Asa Velo Biaro, Ba Yoshafat Velo Biaro. Hey, could it be that us and Yoshafat weren't Mivar, this Avodah Zarah, Velo Kol Avodah Zarah Shabalam Asa Yoshafat Biarum? They got rid of every Avodah Zarah. Why would they leave this one? Ella Makom Nichlu Avos of this Gaderbo. It must be that there was some room left for a later generation to be able to accomplish something that for some reason the Hashkacha had it, that the earlier generations were going to be Malimayin, that they wouldn't notice that this problem that has to be taken care of. So Afani, Makom Nichlu Avos, this Gaderbo, that it was a suffix for all these generations, and Baruch Hashem, the previous generations, allowed me the opportunity to declare that Beis Shan is officially not part of Eretz Yisrael, based on the fact that we have this edus that Rabbi Meir ate from the produce of Beis Shan. Okay, Beis Shan, tomorrow we'll pick up on the top of Zayin Amad Aleph. Great day, everyone.